Jamie and Locker. This is the Green Zone. We're going to start out with our chump today. We're going to start the show with the chump today. Locker, do you want to wager a guess?
Let me think about that for a second.
Producer Scott.
What did he do?
Scott, what day is it today? What day of the week?
Oh, Rec Laws.
The first day of the CFL season and you come in with Nazareth? No.
Third and one from the gun underneath those Thursday night lights.
All right.
Singing loud.
This is back, eh?
The CFL season is upon us tonight. It is night one of the 2026 season.
Here's one of the biggest concerns I have about the Rec Laws and that particular
There should be
song.
No concern.
No.
Have you ever seen them live?
Ever since.
You skipped their show in Winnipeg last year at Grey Cup, which was a terrible life decision. That was a hell of a time.
So, hold on, no. You told me at some point that they hand out beers during their show.
They did.
So that's why I'm upset about that song, is like, I expect you to hand me a beer when we play it.
And they did at the Grey Cup show. They had a cooler.
Why did I miss that?
I don't know. Past your bedtime. I don't know.
All right.
But yes, here we go. CFL season is here. We're asking for your Grey Cup prediction at the start of the season. What do you think's going to happen at the end of the season? Let us know who you see playing for the Grey Cup.
Yeah, who's it? Who are the two teams?
The West Division, East Division, yeah. And then who wins it all in Calgary this November?
Do we want scores too?
No.
Leave the scores out.
The starting lineup, the top sports stories, and it'll begin in Hamilton tonight.
Absolutely on the money from Nathan Rourke once again, as now the Calgary Stampeders defense gives chase, but they can't catch Rourke as he cuts back inside the five. Touchdown, Nathan Rourke.
Here's Bowley by Mitchell. Taking his deep shot for Brendan O'Leary Orange. He is not robbed this time. Is a Hamilton touchdown.
So there you have it. It's Bo Levi Mitchell. It's Davis Alexander tonight. The Montreal Alouettes in Hamilton. 5:30 is the start time on TSN. A rematch of last year's East Division final. You might remember that was a Jose Maltos Diaz walk-off field goal 1916 final that sent the Alouettes to the Grey Cup. For the Hamilton Tiger Cats, they waved goodbye this offseason to receiver Tim White. He went to Winnipeg. Running back Greg Bell, he went to Ottawa. Linebacker Devin Verisuk, the young rookie linebacker, he went to the National Football League. They added Curly Gittens Jr., Carrick Wheatfall in the receiving corps, a couple of good offensive linemen, and Chris Kolonkowski from Winnipeg. Trevor Reed from the NFL, you'll remember him. He was the Riders Rookie of the Year in 2024 before going to the NFL. And, of course, with the Alouettes tonight, without Darnell Sankey, he went to BC. They picked up middle linebacker Micah Alway, and safety Marc-Antoine Dacroix is playing flag football. He retired from the CFL.
Interesting.
He's on the senior flag team, and they've made that replacement as well. So,
and you have concerns about the Ticats defense?
Yeah.
Okay.
No linebackers today. Well, they have linebackers, but not many with CFL experience. And something to keep in mind tonight, if you weren't around the preseason, because it's preseason, I get you. And this might be the first game you consume of 2026. Let's keep in mind a few things. It's in Hamilton. You will notice teams on opposite sides of the field. In Hamilton, they used to be side by side on that near sideline. Now they have one team on one side, one team on the other. They have 35-second play clocks now, so the ball will...
Do they, though?
They do. We got an explanation from that on the Canadian Football League on why it seems
they
paused.
Weren't starting it on time.
No, they were
It should start as soon as the play ends.
No, not this year. That's what you thought. That's not what they're doing. The 35-second play clock will start when the ref raises his hand for the spot of the ball. So when they say, okay, this is where the spot is, then a ref will raise his hand. That's when the 35-second play clock will begin. Something to know. And the Rouge changes this year. Missed field goal out the back of the end zone, no more point. If it's a missed field goal and the guy catches it and takes a knee, that's a point. Or he gets tackled in the end zone, that's a point.
It's
or it hits him and goes out of bounds, that's a point.
It's got to be in the end zone.
You can't kick
the ball to the parking lot.
No. It's got to stop in the end zone and be conceded or otherwise. So there's some of the rule changes this year for 2026. You'll notice tonight in the opener of the Canadian Football League season.
And then for 2027, another 14 or 15 changes coming down once a week for the rest of the year.
And DAZN.
And DAZN, yeah. NHL, game two, Stanley.
And eight teams in the playoffs next year, too.
Yeah. NHL game two goes tonight.
They got to play in the other team's end. You know, they're too much one and done and not even one a lot of times. So they got to get a little more offensive zone time.
Is that Brendan Moore talking about?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Game two tonight in Raleigh, North Carolina. 6 o'clock start, Stanley Cup final. Golden Knights lead that series 1-0. Your top performers, Ehlers, who got the first goal 25 seconds into game one, has 6 goals, 4 assists in his past 10 games. So he's been one of the top performers for the Hurricanes. Quietly, Jack Eichel is having a very, very strong playoffs. There's a lot of conversation about Marner, about the Conn Smythe. I think his name will probably start to be part of that conversation if Vegas continues to roll here. He has 1 goal, 9 assists over the past 10 games. And you notice it when he has the puck on the stick. So far, in those last 10 games, the Hurricanes and the Golden Knights have the exact same record, 8-2-0. I am telling you right now, the Hurricanes bounce back and even up this series tonight.
2-0 final. That's my prediction tonight.
Yeah, I think it'll be a little tighter. I don't think Vegas gets left off the score sheet, though. 3-2 for me, for the Hurricanes.
Well, a cool video, if you can find it. John Cooper yesterday, the head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning, was at a children's hospital. He was announcing Coop's Corner, which is a place for families to hang out with a child who's in the hospital. They have game rooms, all that stuff.
That's cool.
And he was asked a question about being nominated for the Coach of the Year, the Jack Adams Trophy. And he answered the question. And then as he finished answering the question, he was asked another question. What's it like to win it? As they rolled the trophy out of one of the hospital rooms to present to John Cooper for the first time.
I don't have any words. Never thought this would be a reality. You know, you look up to all these guys and what they do, what they've done for the game. And when you really think about it, like, I never put myself in that situation where I'm one of those guys. And it's going to take, look at a trophy case and say, geez, that's my name beside, you know, these greats.
Yeah, John Cooper beat out Lindy Ruff and Dan Muse. It's the closest three-way race in Jack Adams Trophy history.
Really?
Cooper had 36 first place votes. Ruff had 26. Muse had 18. But Ruff and Muse were on more ballots than Cooper. Cooper was on 58, and Ruff and Muse were almost on everybody's ballot, which is like 68 or some voters.
Cooper had more first place votes.
So the points was 226 for Cooper, 223 for Ruff, and 199 for Muse. Like, that's how close it was. And 6 other coaches got first place votes. So it was those three and then 6 others. Rick Tocchet, Martin St. Louis, Jared Bednar, Travis Green, Marco Sturm, and Rod Brind'Amour all got first place votes.
Wow.
And we talked about this, right?
Yeah.
Was how wide open the Coach of the Year was going to be and who was going to get it.
I thought Ruff was going to get it.
So did I, but he was 3 points away. But for the first time ever, can you believe it? The longest tenured coach, 2-time Stanley Cup champion, John Cooper, finally his first Jack Adams Trophy for Coach of the Year.
Do the Tampa Bay Lightning wait like a week or two before they fire him?
No, it's not fire him. Trade him to Edmonton for Connor McDavid.
NBA, we'll get into the playoffs here. Knicks take a game one in the finals.
Here comes Brunson. Stutter dribble, drives inside. Lamb backs it in. Brunson driving, Lamb shot is good. Brunson keeps it alive. Bridges looks back to Brunson. Corner three is up. Bang!
Brunson was possessed last night. He got banged up as well, but he gets 30 points in a 105-95 win for the Knickerbockers. The Knicks riding a 12-game winning streak in the playoffs so far. Wemby, 26 points, 12 rebounds for the Spurs. But his sort of final quarter there was rough. He made 6 of 21 from the field. Was missing a lot towards the end of the game. Game two, Friday in San Antonio. The Knicks are only 3 wins away from their first title in 53 years. I was chatting with a huge basketball fan, and I think a lot of people are in the same boat. Spurs, they're a fun young team to watch, but also the Knicks, kind of an interesting story. I don't know who to cheer for.
The scene last night in New York, because they had the viewing party at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
It's nuts, yeah. Well,
that parade, if they win, that parade will be, gonna be up there for the Rangers in 94.
Yeah.
Right? That's probably be bigger than it'll that.
Are you kidding me?
It'll be
this
something else.
Well, and New Yorkers are a little crazy.
You should have seen the video last night. Yeah. My goodness.
Yeah.
They'll see if they go up 2-0 tomorrow. Meanwhile, the Toronto Blue Jays, there was so much promise. So much promise. And now they're on a 4-game losing streak.
But Dubon gives it a ride out to right center. Varsho going back. It's out of here. 1-1 to number one, Ozzy Albies. Ozzy drills it. If she's fair, she's gone. There she goes.
Yeah, the Blue Jays lose 7-3. That's their fourth straight loss. They climbed up to 500 and now have stumbled back again in the standings. So they're wrapping up that 3-game set in about 3 hours from now, 5:15 first pitch. The starter tonight is Mason Fluharty on the mound for the first inning in a bit for the Toronto Blue Jays. Coming up, we give you our Grey Cup predictions. What are yours as the CFL season begins tonight? In Hamilton, this is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Will the 2027 Grey Cup halftime show be better than the one we got in 2022 with half of Florida Georgia Line and Jordan Davis and who's the Canadian? Josh Ross.
Josh Ross.
So, that triggered me. That triggered me on that one. Who will this year's Grey Cup halftime show be?
Calgary.
Will it be country?
I would think so, right? Stampeders, Calgary, Stampede.
The Stampede, maybe.
You kind of got to get somebody with a...
Who was it last time in Calgary? Keith Urban. That was a good show. Rather enjoyed that one.
Corb Lund?
And then we got a half an hour interview with him through to the third quarter of that Grey Cup, if I do remember correctly. Let's get into prediction time, Locker. Grey Cup in Calgary in November.
You want to start with mine?
Of course I do.
Okay, so here's my thought. I'm taking Saskatchewan to win it, but I think that the Ticats are going to make it to that final game.
And Hamilton Tiger Cats, Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
Here's why. Last year when Montreal beat Hamilton... in a very tight game, and then Montreal made, you know, gets through the East. I remember I asked you because Bo was on the sidelines and he was standing there for like a long time. And I remember saying to you, I think he's done. And you said, I don't know about that. And then when he didn't announce his retirement, and then you told me that you thought that he would come back and give it another run, I was like, you know what? Maybe that was, yeah.
So you're going Riders Hamilton with a Rider repeat?
He had that look. Mike,
my pick is this one. I think this is Nathan Rourke's season. I know last year he was the MOP and the most outstanding Canadian, but I think he adds to it this year. I think he'll be the most outstanding player. I think he'll be the most outstanding Canadian. And then he'll do the double dip at the Grey Cup as well. Most outstanding player at the Grey Cup, most outstanding Canadian in the Grey Cup. And a fifth trophy, the Grey Cup itself, when they beat Davis Alexander and the Montreal Alouettes. I know that's like the favorite pick, but that's why it's the favorite pick. That's why these two teams are real good. And the Riders are going to be in the West Final. And I actually have Calgary playing Montreal in the East Final as a crossover team.
Okay.
And I see one prediction that has a Riders.
Another cross. A Riders crossover.
A Riders crossover and play the Lions in the Grey Cup.
That's from Darren. That's a really interesting prediction.
That would be a fun afternoon in Calgary. Jamie and Locker with you here in the Green Zone on this Thursday afternoon. Night one of the CFL season for 2026. It is the Alouettes against the Hamilton Tiger Cats. Three games this week. We have Winnipeg and Calgary. Of note, Rene Paradis on the six-game injured list to start the season. So there goes his consecutive streak. Oh, well over 200 games consecutive for the kicker of the Calgary Stampeders. So there's that one. Of course, the Riders, the BC Lions, and the Toronto Argonauts all have the bye week this week. We're going to talk more football of the flag football variety. Joanne Polak's going to join us. She is the chair of Football Canada after a pilot project was announced yesterday with U Sports going into the 27-28 season. Joanne, but first off, Joanne, how excited are you for a CFL season to kick off tonight, by the way?
Oh, my God. I've been counting down the days since mid-November and very excited. And unfortunately, I won't be able to watch the Rider game on Saturday night because the Red Blacks are playing the Eskimos here. Eskimos, I can't say that. The Elks. That's my old...
Hey, old habits die hard, Joanne. I get you.
Die hard.
Yeah.
I still don't believe that you're the Rough Riders. I still believe Ottawa is the Rough Riders, but I lost that battle 10 years ago. So.
Of course, Joanne.
Happy football day.
Yes, happy football day to you. Joanne, of course, the former general manager of the Ottawa Rough Riders.
I love it. You just called them the Eskimos. That's so fantastic. I do it all the time. I catch myself all the time.
They're only there forever until 5 years ago.
Yeah.
But Joanne, there's a pilot project announced for flag football, and I'm gonna 35 years ago you were a member of the Canadian Football League, you know, board of governors with the Rough Riders. 35 years later, can you believe we are at this point where we're talking about flag football in the Olympics, flag football pilot programs for youth sports athletics? How surprised are you of the growth of this variation of football?
Well, I think because we're so close to it here in Football Canada that I've been watching it grow and watching the momentum build. And now it's almost like everybody is discovering it. But I can honestly tell you that I knew back 35 years ago that women love football. Women love football. I know that, you know, at your stadium on Saturday night, half the people in the stands are going to be women. It was that way with us back 35 years ago. And now women get to play football in a meaningful way and are loving it. And so we've watched this grow. I kind of look at it like rolling thunder. And we've been watching it grow and grow and grow, and we've been watching women just get more and more involved. And then you add, you know, the Olympic piece, and that just kind of blows us blows my mind. And then you add what U Sport announced yesterday was so important, because what we have now is we have a complete, you know, ecosystem from the very beginning with young little girls right through to, to highly competitive, right through to the Olympics. And now everybody sees the momentum that we've been watching for quite some time.
Joanne, with the announcement, there's a 5-year window before flag gets a full sport status. So I'm just curious, is there an expectation of numbers, like where we are right now with where we want to get to before that sort of next step is taken for flag for women?
Well, I think U Sport really understands their industry, and they understands their teams and their properties, and they know the sort of the best way to do this properly. I'm not, you know, we've waited this long to kind of build this, this rolling thunder, and we want to make sure we do it right. And I've long stopped predicting Flag. I got to tell you that. I've long stopped predicting where this is going to go. But it is undeniable now. It is undeniable. How the growth, the momentum, the passion, the talent that we're seeing from coast to coast, now people are starting to notice. And with the U Sport announcement yesterday, more and more people are all of a sudden going, oh, what's going on over here?
Joanne Polak joining us, the chair of Football Canada. Yesterday, U Sports announcing women's flag football being added to U Sports on a pilot project. Now, we know, here in Saskatchewan, my son plays flag football, so I go every Saturday, Sunday to the rugby field in Regina or the University of Regina on those fields, and they're packed. And then you look over, and there's the competitive girls' divisions, which are very popular. Some of my daughter's friends are in those divisions. Like, what are you seeing numbers-wise on the participation level, really amongst young girls that are progressing in this sport all the way to these competitive, you know, U17 teams and now senior teams trying to get Olympic berths?
Well, the one thing that we can tell you is that it's moving so quickly. Our numbers are not kept. We don't have the data that we need. We're working on that now to be able to give you meaningful numbers. Right now, I'd be making it up. So I can't. All I know is that the demand is growing and that the numbers are growing and that the anecdotal, you know, is growing. And I wish I could quantify for you. And I promise you by this time, like in about 6 months, we will have it all quantified.
Joanne, I'm very curious about your opinion on this, because we kind of see both sides of it here. We've had guests on that have had a toe in football for many years that are concerned about flag taking over from tackle. But we've also had tackle people on that are like, no, this is a good thing. As long as there are people that are interested in football, we don't care what form of football they're playing. I wonder where you stand on that conversation.
Oh, I'm 100% in the camp that this is good for all football. And remember, I'm a tackle person, right? I'm tackle football. That's okay. I've never played, but that's my origins. That's where I come from. That's my love. Like, football is the first thing I think about when I wake up in the morning, and it's the last thing I think about when I go to bed at night. I'm not kidding. And I remember listening to Stu Johnson talk about this, and he said the more footballs that are in kids' hands, the better it is for the sport, all of the sport. Because it was, you know, I've been watching it over the years decline and decline and decline in, you know, tackle football in a lot of different areas, you know, where parents didn't necessarily want their kids involved in a sport that was perceived as dangerous. Well, this answers that. This makes it a lot more accessible and available. And the more people who have their hands on footballs, the more football fans that there will be.
Joanne Polak, chair of Football Canada here on the Green Zone. U Sports announcing a pilot project for flag football for women in 27-28 season. And as you talked about earlier, this is, you know, it's another bridge, another opportunity. You get to a certain level. Oh, now there's maybe U Sports to look forward to. There's a senior program, and maybe other, you know, adult leagues will be popping up flag football-wise. How important is that just in sports overall and the momentum, not only women's football, but women's sports has? We have a new women's junior hockey league in Saskatchewan. I think that's 3 or 4 years old now. So once you're out of high school, it used to be like, well, if I don't make a university team, I'm done. But now there's a junior league. Like, how important is the growth, what we are seeing, and the overall momentum, not only in football, but all sports for females and women?
Well, this is a powerful statement about expanding opportunities for women in sport. And any and all opportunities that women have just warms my heart. I think back when I was a little girl, and, you know, flag football is not new. They've been playing flag football since I was a kid. But I remember watching it, and it was all men. There was no women's, back in the 60s and early 70s, there was no women's organized team sports. It didn't exist. And to watch it explode like it has, especially in the past, you know, I'd say 5 to 10 years, watching it explode and watching women have opportunities that when I was a little girl, you didn't even think possible is extraordinary. And, you know, the more women, the one thing that is undeniable is that when young people of, you know, young people meaning you're 6 or 7 or you're 16 or 17 or 21 or 22, when you get to play organized sports, the life lessons are immeasurable. It is just extraordinary. And men have always had this opportunity and women just sat on the sidelines and watched. And now women are involved, and you're going to see that the impact that that has on society as a whole is enormous.
So, Joanne, it's interesting for me because I was kind of disconnected from football as a kid because I grew up in a very small town, so there was no football programs. And then I started to move around the country with radio, and I saw different versions of football and sort of got a real strong dose of it when I moved to Saskatchewan a couple of years ago. And when I first started walking around the neighborhoods here in Saskatchewan with my dog, I was like, what's going on? This entire province is playing flag football. I moved here in the fall, and every field had flag football. Now, I don't know, you know, what exactly is happening in Saskatchewan that may not be happening in other provinces, but I'm curious if Football Canada has sort of a plan to promote this with the youth in other markets in Canada.
That is 100% our plan. Like, to me, I think the Olympic team is awesome. I think, you know, the youth sport is awesome. But what I can't wait for is more and more young people to be able to play this sport. And it doesn't surprise me that Saskatchewan is sort of leading the way. Quebec is also leading the way. I got to tell you, Quebec, flag football in Quebec, both women and men's, is very, very advanced. They've been playing for a while. Doesn't surprise me about Saskatchewan. I'm going to declare a bias. I'm a football person, and I know Saskatchewan is the greatest football province in the country. I really believe that to my soul. And I am not surprised that with so many people being football fans and loving it and watching it, having the opportunity to participate or have your children participate is a gift. So it doesn't surprise me at all that Saskatchewan is like leading the pack when it comes this way. And we are also starting to see it in all of the other provinces as well. But I'd say Quebec and Saskatchewan are leading the way. But Saskatchewan has always been like a major, major football province and community.
Well, Joanne, before we let you go, I just have to ask. We haven't debated the CFL rule changes at all over the last 2 years in this on
hardly
this radio
ever
show.
Comes not up once, on this show once. Called The Green Zone.
Are you a traditionalist, or are you okay with what Stu is doing as commissioner of the Canadian Football League, along with the board? Well, you've been in those meetings with the board trying to figure out what to do. So, well, what do you think of what's happening?
I think Stu Johnson is an excellent commissioner, and I think we're lucky to have him. And I do know that as a season ticket holder, which is basically my role now, I have season tickets to the Red Blacks clearly, I have to trust the people who are running the league to be able to do what they think is best in the long term for the sport.
Well, I can't wait for I can't wait for tonight, and I can't wait for what's ahead moving forward. Maybe we'll get that 10th team. We haven't been talking about that for, 50 years in this country? So maybe, maybe now.
Yeah, I agree. I'm just look at back when I was here, the CFL had lost its television contract and Montreal had already folded. So we were fighting for survival. So when I see stadiums, you know, I mean, at different levels of being full, and I see this kind of excitement, I'm just so grateful.
And the new TV deal is amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Right.
Joanne,
I got to tell you, I just signed up for DAZN. I got to tell you that. So there we go. And by the way, the flag qualifying in Dusseldorf, Germany is going to be broadcast on DAZN. So there's another reason to sign up.
There you go. There we go. There you go.
By the way, Joanne, I just want to say this. You and I have never met, and this is the first time we've ever talked, and I think it's a shame that somebody didn't throw you on a football field.
Yeah.
I am not athletically inclined in any way, shape, or form.
You sound like
ugly scene. I am queen of the fans. So that's where I want to be.
Well, Joanne, take care. Enjoy, of course, Ottawa Red Blacks season and the entire CFL season. We'll have you on again soon to talk more about this great game in our country.
Anytime. Go Red Blacks.
That is Joanne Polak. She is, of course, the chair of Football Canada, former general manager of the Ottawa Rough Riders way back in the early 90s. Coming up
She's
next,
awesome.
This day in sports history, the end of a career. Like, for real this time, on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
Hepbridge Farm remembers.
Chicago with the lead.
There's Joe Sakic. Scores. Gio Sakic scores.
It's better promise me I'll be back in time.
Yeah, I know that. You know me.
Gotta get back in time.
On this day, it was June the 4th, 1980. Mr. Hockey says goodbye.
I hate like heck to go out after 32 years and find out I run short in the middle of the winter and be in a position where I'm forced to retire, which would be, that would be the sad part. Now it's a happy part. I still think I'm damn well good enough to play.
Yes, Gordie Howe retires on this day, 1980. He was 52 years old. And he played over 2,400 professional games with the NHL and the WHA.
It's insane.
He's playing with his boys with the Hartford Whalers back then. But yes, today in sports, Gordie Howe says no. He felt he could go, but he didn't want to like get hurt and have to quit midseason. So he retired feeling able to still play at the age of 52. By the way, 18 years later, remember, he played one game for the Detroit Vipers.
That's right.
In his 60s.